Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Today, we're talking about Britney Spears. My gosh. Britney Spears, my goodness. She posted a book to her Instagram, and that book is Illuminate Confirmed. It's a cult ritualistic books. Why is she posting it? Well, we're going to find out today. We're going to discuss this very cryptic post. And it ties us into all the things. Aleister Crowley, the Baphomet, the Church of Satan, Anton LaVey. Oh my goodness. And to put a bow on it at the end, we're going to get a response from her ex-husband. Friend of the show, two-time guest, Jason Alexander. That's right. Jason Alexander chimed in. And if you don't believe me, you can go to my Instagram and see it. He wrote the comment. So, primarily today's show, just to be fair, in case you're a mega Britney fan and you don't know who I am and you stumbled upon the show, today we're primarily going to talk about Eliphas Levi. He is the occultist who wrote the book that she posted. I've done a million shows on Britney Spears, and you can obviously catch up on those. I've got a full index at IlluminatiWatcher.com. You can look for a link to the index. I post it everywhere. And just search the page. I got a million Britney shows on there. So we're not going to focus on Britney today. We're going to focus on this book. But this is part of the Britney saga, all right? So the question is, why is she posting this occult ritual book? Or maybe her handlers are posting it, right? This is going to be a deep cut. So if you're a normie, you better strap in, all right? I'm not playing with you hoes. You got to catch up. You got to know what's going on because the agenda is accelerating very fast. The Luciferian global government is being instilled right before our eyes. And I put a poll because I've got another banger coming your way real soon. I'm breaking open the Sound of Freedom, Operation Underground Railroad. And you got to hear this show. I got this guest on, and he's going to blow your mind. But I put a poll out there on my socials, and the people spoke. They wanted to hear about Britney's book first, so here we are. You're going to get the Britney show today, and you're going to get the other show here real soon. If you're a supporter, you're going to get it tomorrow. If you're a free feed loser, you're going to have to wait till Monday, all right? Now, Eliphas Levi. Oh, and then also Britney Spears supposedly has a memoir coming out called The Woman in Me. Some people claim this wasn't even written by her. Who knows what's going on? Let's talk about the book she posted. She posted a book called The Doctrine and Ritual of High Magic, which is a translation of the book by Eliphas Levi, a prominent occultist back in the 1800s. That's when this book was written, in 1854. This is actually a new book. This is a translation of it because Eliphas Levi is French. And John Michael Greer helped translate it, apparently. I actually own one of his books called The Occult Book, it's a very beautiful book, by the way. I've got the hardcover version of it. And he breaks down a lot of occult ideas, where it comes from and all that. It's actually a pretty good book. Now, Amazon describes this particular book, The Doctrine and Ritual of High Magic, reignited the esoteric spiritual search in the West and led to the emergence of Madame Blavatsky, Manly P. Hall, and the New Age Revolution. Well, there you go. And then let's define high magic, all right? High magic, and this is spelled with a C instead of a K, because this is pre-Aleister Crowley. Aleister Crowley was the one that added the K to magic to differentiate it from stage magic. And high magic is a ceremonial magic, a prescribed formula, a liturgy, if you will, for the occultist. Whereas the opposite is low magic, meaning you just use the natural environment, everyday situations, less of the prescribed formula. You don't have to wear the robe and the wand and all that, apparently. It's more of a psychological, real-life usage, okay? And I've compared this to martial arts. And karate, which I studied the form as a child, you can learn the art of karate, and you find that you have forms. I don't remember what the term they used. There's forms in karate. Whereas mixed martial arts, it's more about what's useful here. What can you use in a fight to take the other person out? That's kind of the difference. High magic is more of the forms. Low magic is kind of more of the tactical everyday situation. From what I understand, I am not an occultist. I do not practice magic. But let's talk about who Eliphas Levi was. I'm going to read you from Peter Brooksmith's Cult and the Occult. This is the book I bought, a hard-to-find book, a rare book. This is the one that Stanley Kubrick owned and underlined passages in for Eyes Wide Shut. There is a section called Ritual and Magic, and I'm going to read you my notes. It says that Eliphas Levi, his real name was Alphonse Louis Constant, was born in France in 1810. His mentor was a guy named J.M. Ronsky. He was a Polish refugee who fled. Ronsky thought that Poland... What the hell am I saying here? I'm trying to read through my notes. Sorry. Ronsky thought Poland was a Christ-like sacrifice meant to fix all of Europe. Okay, because the Russians apparently took Poland over, which is why all these refugees fled. Okay, there you go. That makes sense. I don't know my 1800s world history. Sorry, folks. Ronsky taught Levi about Kabbalah and about ritual magic and how man could raise himself to become God. Now, we're going to pick on Britney Spears and her Kabbalah connections in this show. Crowley would eventually, you know, he's a much more popular character in the realm of the occult. Most people know who he is. He would claim to be the reincarnation of Eliphas Levi. That's how important this guy was to the formation of occult practices. And it's also very curious because we find out Eliphas Levi was a fraud. Of course, all these occultists and New Age grifters, it's all fraud. All right? Spoiler alert. You can't manifest your own reality. I know. But you know what? I actually disagree with some of that. Because I've practiced some of these New Age things casually. I don't know what the truth is here. I try to do God's will, and I do my prayers, training, and vitamins. But I got to say, you got to own your own... What's the right term to use? Your own passions, your own pursuits. You got to own it, and you got to step up. You can't just sit there. You can pray, all right? You can pray to God. And this is my own stupid thoughts. Who cares what I think? I'm an awful person. But you can pray to God. You can pray that God opens up the doors for you. But you got to do the hard work here on earth. God is going to do it all for you. You got to do it on your own. You say your prayers and hope that you're making the right path and say, you know, please, dear God, Jesus Christ in heaven, if this is the right path for me, open the doors and make it clear to me, right? But you got to do the work. You think when I graduated, I'm going to brag a little bit. I graduated with a 3.9 GPA from Penn State with a master's degree in systems engineering. All right. I don't want to brag about it, but I did. Of course, I said prayers that whole time. But I also studied my butt off. I studied a lot. A lot of that work was done by me through the help of God. Okay? God blessed, for whatever reason, God blessed me to be able to pull that off. Anyway, okay. I just want to be clear about that. Why are we talking about that? Oh, because I said that all New Age practices were a fraud. Kind of. It's difficult, right? I told the story before. I was really into quantum physics for a long time, studying physics in college. What the Bleep Do We Know? I found to be a very inspirational documentary. It talks about quantum physics. Also, what's his name? Dr. Joe Dispenza. Very helpful because I suffer from depression, right? And a lot of the ideas presented in quantum thinking and law of attraction and stuff were very helpful to me. So I'm not the guy who's going to say, oh, all occult practices are bad and all New Age practices are bad. No, there's a lot of good things in there. I think you know, what I find in life is balance is the key. And some people just become so unbalanced and they dive deep into this occult rabbit hole and they start buying into gurus and getting into some wild stuff. I think you should find a balance between the two. Okay, enough of my soapbox. Who cares what I have to say? All right, moving on. I'm just saying it's complicated. I have no problem with people who practice occult thinking, okay? Same as, I don't care. If you're a Christian, cool. Not a Christian, cool. You worship Satan, cool. Whatever, I don't care. Everyone's got their own beliefs. Just be a good person. Love everyone. Don't touch the kids. All right. Now, Eliphas Levi, he was obsessed with knowledge, the pursuit of knowledge. He thought he could decipher these ancient alchemical texts, break the code for man to become God. That's what you'll find down when you go take these occult things to the end. That's where they go. Man becoming God. Eliphas Levi, he did a ritual to evoke Apollonius of Tyana. This was a philosopher. Apollonius gave Eliphas Levi all of these secrets. He thought through necromancy, he resurrected this guy and started talking to him. And he gave Levi, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right. Don't at me. I don't care. I've heard it pronounced either way. Levi or Levi. I assume in French it's Levi. But Apollonius gave Levi great secrets that could change the world. Although Levi did not write these down, and later, he would actually warn people of evoking spirits, which is my whole thing, right? I think these practices work. I question if we have the discernment to be able to do such things, or if we should do such things. That's my thing. The author of, what book was I reading? Oh, yeah, Peter Brooksmith says that Levi was a fraud. Says he quoted from grimoires, that's spell books. Says he quoted selectively and inaccurately, picking passages that suited his macabre gothic depictions. Because if you read his stuff, it's very macabre. It's like you're watching a House of Horror movie. It's actually very difficult to read his books. Example that he provides, Infernal Evocations was a term he used to represent raising spirits from hell. And he said that you would need a bunch of crazy impossible things like horns from a goat that had previously had sex with a young girl. I mean, this is the guy that allegedly Britney Spears' account posted the image of this guy's book. He also Eliphas Levi also described a trident of Paracelsus meant to fix sex impotence. But he misread text to describe it. And the three prongs he was talking about were actually the holy trinity of alchemy. It's salt, sulfur, and mercury. But this is all very nerdy stuff, right? Levi's history teaches the stuff that he teaches was very inaccurate. But his magical theories were still important for a lot of later occult works from Aleister Crowley and such, which he inspired Crowley and Blavatsky, which they're the people who arguably brought about this new age. And his dogmas explained all of the supernatural phenomenon. And later in the book, this Peter Brooksmith book, there's a chapter on sex, sin, and sacrament, and it talks about how Eliphas Levi thought that the fall of man was actually about sex, because the original sin supposedly was when Adam and Eve had sexy time, you know, and that's when they ate the fruit, quote unquote, and this sexy time induced shame. And Blavatsky apparently agreed with this, according to this book, and even elaborated on the idea, okay? But to answer the question, who was Eliphas Levi? I'm going to point you to Robert Sullivan, who I've had on the show a few times. He wrote a book called Cinema Symbolism 3. I'm going to read you from it. It says, the French sage Eliphas Levi identified Lucifer, the great magical agent, as the driving force behind ingenuity, since the light bearer is the vehicle of illumination and the receptacle of all forms. So again, you find when you get into these things, they're always worshiping Lucifer. They always think that man can become God. Lucifer, of course, very influential to Helena Blavatsky. Her publishing company with Alice Bailey was Lucifer Publishing before it became the Lucius Trust, which Lucius Trust then got real cozy with the United Nations, which is what draws a lot of conspiracy people into that realm, okay? Now, who was into this Eliphas Levy besides Britney Spears' social media manager? Pascal Beverly Randolph. Now, if you don't know who that is, we did two big shows on sex magic, I don't know, a year ago? And I'm going to read you the Wikipedia explanation for Pascal Beverly Randolph. Back in the 1800s, he was a multiracial medical doctor, occultist, spiritualist, trance medium, and a writer. He is notable as perhaps the first person to introduce the principles of erotic alchemy to North America, and according to A.E. Waite, establishing the earliest known Rosicrucian order in the United States. So, again, one of the OGs of occult illuminate confirmedness here. And if you go to the Hermetic Library website, it'll give you more details about Randolph, like how his teachers were Eliphas Levy and Hermes Trismegistus. That's right, the Hermes, the Thoth, the ancient Egyptian alien god who taught mankind the secrets of alchemy. And put that all together, this is part of the magic ritual stuff and the idea of man becoming God through his own pursuits. Now, Crowley, he thought he was Eliphas Levy. He thought he was the reincarnation of Levy and Edward Kelly. But he translated Eliphas Levy's book called The Key of the Mysteries, and in it talks about symbols, which is very important. That's what the big legacy of Eliphas Levy is, symbolism. Topic we cover many times. I'm going to read you from this book. We have said that there is no religion without mysteries. Let us add that there are no mysteries without symbols. The symbol, being the formula or the expression of a mystery, only expresses its unknown depth by paradoxical images borrowed from the known. And we're going to dig into this more and make sense of it. So don't get too wrapped around the axles with some of this verbose language. So, in Dogma and Ritual of High Magic, which is the book that Britney Spears' handlers posted, or Britney, maybe she posted that. Who knows? I don't know. But in the Dogma and Ritual of High Magic, there was the drawing of the Baphomet, and it's full of witchcraft ideas, right? But before we get into Baphomet, let's talk a little bit about Kabbalah. I feel like that's a better segue now that I'm looking at my notes here. Do you recall Britney Spears years ago wore a red string bracelet? This is the Kabbalah bracelet. Madonna infamously got Britney Spears into Kabbalah. Do you remember Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera and Madonna had that three-way Freemasonic kiss at the VMAs early in the 2000s? Well, Britney got into Kabbalah. I don't know if she still is. Who knows? But she prominently wore the bracelet in a video. I think it's the song that was on Spring Breakers. A beautiful song. But it was in this video for that song. I should get the name of it. Sorry. I should have had that ready. I'm a bad, bad host. Okay. So let me. And if you haven't seen the Spring or heard the Spring Breakers show, you got to hear that one. I knocked that one out of the park. If you're into Spring Breakers, I did a show on it a couple years ago. I had my man Alex Kazemi, who's a very famous magic guy. He wrote a whole book about magic with, I think, Marilyn Manson helped write the foreword or something. Every Time is the name of the video that Britney Spears... I think it's Every Time, man. I should have done my homework on this. I could be wrong. Whatever. There's a video where Britney Spears is in a bathtub, okay? And she's bleeding from the head. and she's wearing the Kabbalah red string bracelet. Now, what's concerning here? Because you know the bathtub is the Luminate confirmed symbol. It represents the passage of the goddess. It's the cleansing ritual before the goddess passes over. So, of course, when you see Britney Spears bleeding in the bathtub, that's terrifying. That means maybe she's going to be the goddess Illuminati sacrifice. Just like Whitney Houston and her daughter, who both were killed in the bathtub. And then that feeds into all these theories about Britney Spears being dead. Now, and we're gonna hear more about all this from Jason Alexander, but I'm holding that to the end, okay? So, let's talk about Kabbalah. You go back to the Holy Land, and there was all these beliefs and all these schisms of beliefs. Judaism, you know, the Jewish faith, for instance, it has its own schism where some people got into the esoteric Judaism with a thing called Kabbalah. And the idea is that this has a deeper mystical truth behind the Torah, the first books of the Old Testament. And even Christian mystics try to read into this idea too. So this isn't isolated to one little thing, right? Well, anyway, there's this whole belief system called Kabbalah. And Eliphas Lavie claimed that the Knights Templar were actually Kabbalists. And the reason that matters is because that ties us to the Baphomet. The idol that the Knights Templar were accused of worshiping was the Baphomet, which is described as, at least for the Templar example, described as a human head or a cat or a bearded man or a being with two faces, which is an alchemical symbol, by the way. And supposedly it granted protection and made the land fertile and helped people find riches, okay? Now, we still don't know what the Knights Templar Baphomet was. There's all of these allegations of it. But Eliphas Lavie, who said that the Templars were Kabbalists, he's the one that actually told us what a Baphomet looked like. Because previous to that, it was all those things I just said. People said the Knights Templar were worshiping a floating head. Some people thought the Templars had the head of John the Baptist and they worshiped it. A lot of conspiracies there. In fact, I think I did a whole Knights Templar show a couple years ago where you can dig deep into that. Well, Eliphas Lavie, he's the one that drew up what we now know as the Baphomet. That's the devil goat image with the male goat with the female breast, kind of. And so it's arguable if that... So the Baphomet we now know of as the sigil of the Church of Satan, it's possible it was the same one the Knights Templar worshipped. We don't really know, okay? That's the point. Because, you know, the idea of magical heads, that was common apparently in Middle Eastern mysticism, which gets you into the assassins and a lot of that stuff. Some claim it would be the feminine embodiment of Sophia. Crowley said the Baphomet was the baptism of wisdom, which that's what in Gnosticism, Sophia means wisdom. Yeah, even in the Orthodox Church, during the liturgy, the priest comes out and holds up the Bible and he says, Sophia, you know, the Greek word for wisdom. So not the same. Same word, different meanings to different people, which is very indicative of symbolism. Symbols mean different things to different people. In the Greek culture, the all-seeing eye wards off evil. In American pop culture, we say the all-seeing eye is Illuminati confirm. Some people also claim that the head was Hiram Abiff, the founder of Freemasonry. It goes on and on and on, okay? Now, the late great occult researcher Tracy Twyman, she had experience contacting entities like Cain and Baphomet. And she details some of these conversations in her book, Clock Shavings. And in chapter 10, I've got some notes that are kind of relevant here. Let's take a listen. Even during the lifetime of Adam, the descendants of Cain became exceedingly wicked, dying successively, one after another, each more wicked than the former. Even occultist Eliphas Lavie talks about the descendants of Seth and Cain being the forefathers of the two opposing schools of good and evil magic, respectively. You know, because Cain was the bad guy. So he, of course, would be behind the evil magic. Also, Jewish Kabbalist legends agree that the first Adam in the first creation story, whom they call Adam Kadmon, was indeed a different entity from the second Adam. In fact, he and his wife were a hermaphroditic creature, both made at the same time, forming a perfect image of God, who also transcended sexuality. This Adam was a pure microcosm of the universe, unlike the second Adam, created separate from his female half and therefore destined to fail. So the Baphomet, the goat with the boobs, you can see that's the hermaphroditic representation, and it represents a bunch of things. Like, for instance, one example is on the Baphomet's arms, you see tattooed solve and coagula, which means to dissolve and to join together, to dissolve and coagulate. It's a reconciliation of opposites, of opposing forces. Now, the Baphomet, let's do a mini deep dive on that. A guy named Joseph von Hammer Purgstall, coolest metal name I've ever heard, confirmed that the Knights Templar worshipped the Baphomet. So we've got Elphys Levy saying that the Templars were Kabbalists. Now you've got Mr. Metal here, Von Hammer Purgstall, saying that they worshipped Baphomet. And he said they did that when they learned about the Gnostic mystery religion from the Middle Eastern assassins. Elphys Levy practiced occult magic, and he's the one that drew the Baphomet, okay? And then Anton LaVey, founder of the Church of Satan, would later incorporate into the Church of Satan as the word of the Gnostics. And in the Satanic Bible, he said that the Baphomet was symbolic of Satan. And if you look in a different Elphys Levy book he wrote called The Doctrine of Transcendental Magic Part 1, he had the defining attributes of the Baphomet as we knew it today. Many sources claim that he drew it, but the copy I had doesn't have the drawing, so I'm thinking maybe the non-translated French version might. And again, this is going deep into nerdy occult territory here. But if you look at the occult encyclopedia that I keep handy, a big old book, there's some stuff about Elphys Levy let's talk about. He was also... one of his mentors was named Abbe Frere Colonna, who indoctrinated Levy to believe in millennialism. This was the idea that there are different ages. These are the like in traditionalism with Steve Bannon and stuff, we talk about the Kali Yuga and the end times and the dark times. Or Alice Bailey talked about the age of Aquarius, or Aleister Crowley talked about the Aeon of Horus. They just think there's this predetermined destiny idea of ages going through cycles. Levy wrote this socialist piece back in 1841 called The Bible of Liberty that got him tossed into prison. And while he was there, this is before he wrote all these books like the one Britney Spears posted. While he was in prison, he read Emanuel Swedenborg's stuff, and he liked the idea of Swedenborg's correspondences, the idea that in our world, there are symbols for things that are actually in the divine realm. And one can understand the deeper meaning of the scriptures if they viewed all this as coded messages. And Swedenborg believed that one could extract the true nature of divinity as this true universal religion that's concealed behind all the religions of the world. This is ecumenicism. This is the very popular spirituality notion where people say, look, man, I think all the religions have some truth to them. And who am I to know? I don't know. Maybe. I know that the Christian forefathers in the Orthodox Church would say that's an absolute heresy. That's an absolute false thing. It's satanic in the sense that it's trying to dilute and ultimately obliterate true Christianity. But anyways, Elphys Levy, he bought into this idea that science was the path to the true religion, to this true, divine religion, and that led him into magic and him writing transcendental magic and so on. And he kept on doing magic till he died. But let's focus in on this Baphomet drawing, because Eliphas Levi is the guy who drew him. And it's the goat done on purpose, because the goat is representing the devil in the tarot decks, the tarot cards, right? And Levi said, it's not the devil, though. They said, it's more like the god Pan, which is also a goat. And he's trying to say that this is a pagan sort of vibe, all right? And Eliphas Levi equated the devil tarot key with Mercury, which is why there's actually a caduceus, you know, of Mercury on the dong of the Baphomet. Now, if you read, what book is this? I think this is Levi's book. In the introduction, it suggests that he thinks that the church, the Christian church, was actually hating on the Knights Templar. And let me read you. You can make of it what you will. You shall assist at the execution of Jacques de Molay and his accomplices or his brethren in martyrdom. Be not misled, however. Confuse not the guilty and the innocent. Did the Templars really adore Baphomet? Did they offer a shameful salutation to the buttocks of the goat of Mendes? That's another term for the Baphomet, the goat of Mendes. What was actually this secret and potent association with imperiled church and state, and was thus destroyed unheard? Judge nothing lightly. They are guilty of a great crime. And this is where the difference is. Levi says, yes, those Templars were guilty of a very great crime, but it wasn't heresy of Christ. He says, they are guilty of a great crime. They have exposed to profane eyes the sanctuary of antique initiation. They have gathered again and have shared the fruits of the tree of knowledge, and they must become masters of the world. The judgment pronounced against them is higher and far older than the tribunal of pope or king. Quote, on the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, said God himself in the book of Genesis. The symbolic head of the goat of Mendes is occasionally given to this figure, and it is then the Baphomet of the Templars and the word of the Gnostics, bizarre images which become scarecrows for the vulgar, blah, 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 okay? So you get what he's saying there. He's saying that these Templars, they actually violated the occult vow of silence, what Crowley called the sign of Harpocrates. They exposed the real secrets of the occult. Let's see what else do I got for you. Robert Place's book, The Tarot, says that Eliphas Levi believed that wisdom comes from the Emerald Tablet. That's Hermes, right? And that Levi's goat is a trickster. And this trickster has a necessary function to create balance in the subconscious, just like Carl Jung's shadow. And again, Jung was a Gnostic. And the idea from all that is that the wisdom one needs is actually buried in the subconscious, and man's duty is to draw it out for man to become God. Man needs to access the subconscious. One way they do that is by embracing the shadow. That's why Kobe Bryant wrote about it in his books for kids. I've done those shows. Look, go back to my February 2020. We were blowing that wide open. Carl Jung talks about it. It's all over the place. And that's why they use tarot. Tarot, they believe, is a tool for remembering the truth, because we all have it buried in the subconscious. That's why they use symbols. They speak to the subconscious. They're trying to draw it out. Now, Eliphas Levi's transcendental magic was talking about the power of symbolism as an occult force, all right? And it's kind of like an example he uses in there. I'm not going to read it to you because it's kind of wordy. It talks about Archimedes' lever. Archimedes wanted a lever in which he could move the whole world. And that's kind of where this magnetic chain idea comes into play. All right. I think I got a quote in here for you about the magnetic chain. Maybe I don't. But the idea is that signs and symbols, once propagated enough, take on their own energy, their own force. So yes, symbols are powerful. They know this. They use that. All right. Including the V, right? The Churchill peace sign. Infamously advised by Aleister Crowley to use to fight the solar powers of the Nazis. And that's why you see it on the tarot, the Hierophant card. Because the V is what the priest is doing, the exposer of the hidden wisdom, the esoteric wisdom. Let's see. I got Robert. Okay, one last thing on this nerdy stuff, and then we're going to get into films. Robert Sullivan in Cinema Symbolism 3 said this. Levy combined elements of the tarot's devil card, and the he-goat adored it, which is Sabbath's. Baphomet has a human torso with rounded female breasts, a caduceus in the midriff, that's the schwanz, cloven feet, black wings, a goat's head with a torch on top between two horns. These attributes symbolize androgyny. Visa coincidentia oppositorum, connotating horror and sin, magic, intelligence, alchemy, universal equilibrium, spirit over matter, and the generative principle. Now, how much of that stuff rings a bell if you have ever read New Age stuff? They represent astral light, the central concept in Levy's magical synthesis. Its human arms and hands form a sign of occultism, as above, so below, which, you know, that's the two fingers up, two fingers down, which I pointed out on my social medias is in Forrest Gump, and the American Airlines lady, the lady who's like, you're talking about the, that guy's not real. Remember that? That viral video, she does that for a split second. It's arguable that that's a stance that she does, to be fair. And I know I posted it, and people got real upset. I'm done following this dumb page. Okay, you know what? I don't need your negative attitude anyway. I'm just trying to have some fun and open up some dialogue, all right? They, where are we? Okay, as above, so below. Yes, yes, yes. And we're already talking about solving Coagula. We don't need to go back there again. All right, let's talk about some films, and then we're going to let you go. Because I know we went hard in the paint, but I'm on a schedule today, folks. I got things to do. I'm going to post this Sound of Freedom show, and you're going to have your minds blown wide open. The Gretel and Hansel film, which I thought was a great film. There is this, there's this whole thing in there about the Grand Grimoire, the Red Dragon, which uses Solomon's lesser keys of magic, which some people say that's the black magic or the demonic stuff. So it depends on who you talk to, right? You got the lesser keys, and then you've got lower magic, which are apparently two separate things. But this lesser keys were supposed to summon Lucifer to make the Faustian pact. Now, Eliphas Levy had a fascination with this too. And in chapter 2 of one of his books, I didn't put it in my notes which one, he discusses a tool to use in the Grimoire. And it's called the Destroying or Blasting Rod. And you actually see this in the film Gretel and Hansel. Also, the film Lighthouse, another great movie with William Dafoe and Robert Pattinson. I did two shows back-to-back in March of 2020 of The Lighthouse and The Witch, showing that they were showing you opposing polarities. The Witch was a female energy film, and The Lighthouse was a male energy film. Which I thought that was ingenious when I put those together, but hey, you know. There's a scene in The Lighthouse where they recreate a Jean Deville painting, okay? A very famous scene. Who's Jean Deville? Well, turns out he's this dead painter who was also a theosophist, meaning he followed Helena Blavatsky. And his paintings were intended to portray higher spiritual purpose derived from hermetic and esoteric traditions. Also one of his influences, Eliphas Levy. That's right. And the painting we're talking about is called Promethe, which is a reference to Prometheus, which is the archetype of Lucifer. Now, in conclusion, to wrap all this up, let's talk about how Eliphas Levi is the architect of symbolism, because we always talk about symbolism on this show. This is the guy who started it all. It's all about magic. It's all about channeling energy into the minds of the masses to manifest a new reality. And that's what all of this, that's the purpose for mainstream media. It's the purpose for all of this. You know, causing change in, change to occur in conformity with the will, the magician's will. Not God's will, their will. So that's where things get dicey. Okay, here's the magnetic chain quote I was looking for. Okay. And the magnetic chain is talking about how symbols and signs, they take on an energy as they get shared and propagated through society. A representation of a force, okay? I learned this from Freeman Fly. I don't want to take this. He was one of my red pill daddies. I learned it from him. So shout out Freeman Fly. To form the magnetic chain is to originate a current of ideas which produces faith and draws a large number of wills in a given circle of active manifestation. A well-formed chain is like a whirlpool which sucks down and absorbs all. The chain may be established in three ways: by signs, by speech, and by contact. The first is by inducing opinion to adopt some sign as a representation of the force. Now, I'm looking it up because there's the book I got it from. I'm trying to get the name. It's called Weird Stuff, Operation Culture Creation, and it was Freeman Fly and Jamie Hanshaw wrote that. So if you want more on that, he goes into it pretty good. But the purpose of symbolism and how it relates to all the things we talk about Carl Jung, we talk about Sigmund Freud, because they believe that symbols have a power to evoke and influence actions of people, and it does. People are easily programmable. They want your subconscious. That's why we're in an energy and attention economy. They want your attention so they could drill it full of freaking symbols, right? That's why they charge millions of dollars for advertising on TV and stuff like that, right? That's why Elon Musk is giving out thousands of dollars on Twitter for people who can get more comments so that more eyeballs see the ads. There's money behind it. These symbols speak to us on the subconscious level. That's how ads and marketing work. And Eliphas Levi's magnetic chain principle of connecting the consumer to the corporations is arguably what we're looking at here. And I mean, you could even talk alchemy, turning lead into gold. How do you turn lead into gold? How do you make action happen? How do you make change happen? Well, Eliphas Levi was the one that was talking about this underlying force in nature used by magicians to change our world. So that's why this book's important. Why did Brittany post it? I don't know. Did Brittany even post it? Was it her handlers? There's lots of videos out there debunking her videos, claiming that there's green screen. I've seen videos where they say they're deep fake because her bottom teeth disappear. I mean, we already know she's got handlers. Kanye West talked about he had handlers. Brittany talked about it. We freed Brittany, didn't we? Some people would say, no, we never freed Brittany. And we're gonna wrap it up in conclusion. I'm going to read you what her first husband, Jason Alexander, said in response to the post I made about this. I'm going to read you what he said. He said, 100, Brittany does not run her Instagram. It is still controlled by CrowdSurf and Cassie Petrie or someone similar. I have phone conversations where she tells me they post without her having any say and she has nothing to do with her social. It's all controlled by her brand that keeps her a slave to their contracts. She would have to walk away and lose everything to have her voice back. She is 100 alive. And without a doubt, a prisoner to the family courts of Los Angeles and her handlers like Kate Hudson. That's C-A-D-E. Not, I don't think it's Kate Hudson from the Fabletics Empire, is it? Cade Hudson and her Hollywood stage husband, Sam Asghari, that continue to work with paid media to publish false headlines to deceive the people. So, I don't know. What's the truth out there with all this? It's hard to know. All I do know is by looking at the text and looking at the ideas of the occult. And what I do know is that there is a corporate interest behind understanding how the mind works, how to influence people. They want to bend the wills, and it could be as innocuous as for wealth. It could be as serious as a spiritual battle between good and evil. And, you know, a lot of people, they listen to all this stuff, and they say, well, damn, Isaac, what are we supposed to do? You're supposed to do God's will. That's what you're supposed to do, all right? You're getting preacher wise hop today, folks. You know, I talked to my last guest, John Brisson, and he's got me fired up for Christ today. Talk to me next week. We'll see where I'm at next week. But yeah, you're supposed to do God's will. You know what? I don't worry about none of this stuff. Isn't that great? The Bible tells you not to be anxious. It tells you not to be anxious, which is easier said than done. And, you know, and this is where that weird New Age Christian vibe comes in, because the Bible tells you not to be anxious. Clearly, it's not healthy to be anxious. So what do? You pray to God, and then you also use tools given to you. I meditate, and it works. I don't meditate every day. I'm not meditating to talk to higher spirits. I use it to try to calm the monkey mind down. Some of those Buddhist practices are very powerful. I like Buddhism a lot. Even though my church would say that's heretical, don't touch it. You know, I got to do me, right? I got to find a way. And that's not good. I'm not advocating for that. Just that's what works for me. But you got to use the tools given to us, but try to stay focused on the will of God. You know, try to use the path of Christ. That's my two cents. Do what you want to do, right? As Crowley said, do what thou wilt. But I do know that there is an interest in using symbolism to hijack, to steal the louche, as they say, as Sam Tripoli would say. So there you go. Hope that cleared up a little bit about what the book was about what Eliphas Levi is all about. Stay tuned to the show. I got a super mega banger coming up on Sound of Freedom, so you don't want to miss that. So stay subscribed to the show. And if you like the show, if you think I'm doing good messaging here, you think I'm doing you any kind of service, leave a review. I need a 5-star review, because I get lots of haters. They get on here, and I think they're controlled opposition. I think they're disinformation, because they say stuff, and I'm like, dude, what? Did you listen to one episode at random and come to this conclusion? Because, yeah, I'm learning and doing better over the years. If you picked one show from 5 years ago and you play it, you might be like, oh, this is stupid. He's talking real slow. I don't like it. Or, I don't know, whatever. They pick crazy stuff to give me 0 stars. Help me out. 5-star it. Links are always in the show notes. Till next time, stay woke.